Hadi bakalım.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Human Reaction. We are glad to be here with you. Tim Walz is back in the news, and for reasons that are exactly as hilarious as you would expect. Let's just go ahead and roll the clip. Well, we don't have the clip. We have the memes.
Well, first we have the meme. We have Franklin finds fraud in Minnesota. I don't know if you've existed on the internet in the last week. Franklin memes are everywhere.
Franklin is trending for the first time since I was six.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
As a Canadian, I'm glad to see it. This is my culture.
Is Franklin Canadian?
Apparently so. I learned that this week.
Those Canadian turtles.
Wow.
Those Canadian
turtles.
You got a lot
of turtles in Canada?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, actually?
Turtles exist.
I believe they exist.
90% of Canada's on the border, of course.
Well, we should build a wall, first of all.
True.
Do you want some Somalians first?
Now, do Somalians eat turtles? Do we know this? They might,
It'd be
right?
extra ironic in that case.
I don't know.
I'm going to grok it.
I mean,
I'd
eat a turtle.
But another major clip. We are talking about the Somali story, but there was just some funny Tim Walz stuff because Tim Walz is going under congressional investigation because of, did he know about the fraud that was going on? And then they just wanted to make sure Somali voters voted Democrat. There's that kind of thing that's happening here. But first, before we get into the serious news, here is a clip from Tim Walz.
True. This creates danger. And I'll tell you what, in my time on this, I'd never seen this before. People driving by my house and using the R word in front of people. This is shameful. And I have yet to see an elected official, a Republican elected official, say, you're right, that's shameful.
I'm kind of retarded.
Oh, no. That might be the most masterful use of the Stream Deck in Human Reaction history.
And if you don't want to look retarded, you should definitely check out our sponsor.
That's right. Revved Up Promo. The other R word. The one that's a lot more favorable to use, at least for Tim Walz. I think Tim Walz could probably say it.
Although, don't be retarded. Go revved up.
That's right. That's right.
It's a new call sign we'll have for it.
We'll be revved up. Don't be retarded. Call revved up.
Yeah.
And you can get that shirt here.
Yeah.
Yes, you can get that shirt on our website, available shortly, hopefully by the time this podcast airs.
I will say, your Stream Deck there, Bennett, you get your job for one more day.
Oh, you still employed.
You get to keep it.
Mm-hmm. Still employed.
You get to keep that job there. Yeah,
unlike
was a good
Tim
one.
Walz.
Unlike Tim Walz. Yeah, so what we have here is, maybe we can just go right into this clip, but we have Tim Walz and the Minnesota AG, Keith Ellison, are under congressional investigation. And I think this clip will kind of, for widespread fraud, and it all, if you've seen on the internet, everybody's talking about Somalis, this is what's going on. So let's just play this clip and then we can kind of get into some of the nitty gritty details.
President Trump and Republicans are railing against Governor Tim Walz, and the House Oversight Committee, which has launched its own investigation into the fraud, is now requesting documents, records, and communications from both Walz and State Attorney General Keith Ellison after reports they and other state officials may have been warned and ignored those warnings, allowing this fraud to happen.
Image. The state employees in Minnesota rang the bell. They blew the whistle that there was massive fraud. And yet Tim Walz and Keith Ellison, the attorney general, apparently turned a blind eye to that for fear of political retaliation from the large voting bloc of Somalis.
Yeah, close to 80,000 Somalis live in Minnesota. They have become a powerful voting bloc for Democrats. But there are now multiple federal investigations into this fraud. Folks close to those cases tell us that what we've seen so far may be just the tip of the iceberg.
Hey, Bill, watching that.
President Trump and Republicans. All
right. Pause it real quick. I'm going to totally go off on a tangent because I love doing that. You see the little Chiron down here in the corner? Trump trilateral meeting with Rwanda. And Dr. Congo. That sounds like an awesome like hip hop track that just dropped.
Dr. Congo.
Obviously, it's not Dr. Congo, but
it's like a collaboration album.
Yeah. Yo, what up? It's Trump. Snoop Dogg. New album, Trilateral Meeting with Rwanda and Dr. Congo.
Dr. Congo! Dr. Congo is the producer that passed up Eminem. Yeah. She's just really bummed out about it. That's right.
Okay, back to the story.
Yeah, so basically, the summarizing the story, Christopher...
Sorry. Oh, it was God. A delayed one. I haven't used it in a while.
They're eating the dogs in Minnesota.
City Journal, Christopher Rufo and a guy, his name's Thorpe, his last name, I can't remember his first name. Sorry, I don't have the article directly in front of me. They put out this report and it showed that there was basically this widespread pandemic of sorts of companies, Somali companies, billing state agencies for services never provided. And there's just a whole tons of fraud on the system. And so far it's like, I think it's the number's like $1.2 billion worth of money that under three investigations that are currently underway right now. That just to give some of example of these plots, there was a nonprofit named Feed the Future that was partnering with businesses as feeding sites, and they were claiming to have fed tens of thousands of children, but most of the meals didn't exist.
Well, that's because the future isn't here yet.
The future's not here yet.
They're feeding future children, present children.
It's very kind of... it feels kind of Sam Bankman-Fried-y, actually, in that sense, with the
effective altruism. Yeah,
effective altruism, because the funds were spent on cars and real estate.
Well, you have to have a place to keep the food and a way to get the food from there to the children.
It's a business
expense.
Therefore,
you need cars and real estate.
It's a business expense.
I think this is totally legit. I think these claims are, totally Trump.
I hope that's what they use in
feeding
court.
Our future got $200 million in 2021.
That's insane.
A lot of money. That's a lot of money injection.
Yeah. Wow. Another was an autism group that was working with parents in the Somali community to fraudulently claim kids have autism for the sake of assistance programs. Some interesting statistics that were in here. 1 in 16 Somali boys were diagnosed with autism.
1 in 16?
That's triple the state's average.
Wow.
I mean, that seems low given the average in this room, but
how Savage. Dare you?
It's true.
I'm sorry. Okay.
That is valid. You're making some good points for the legal team.
I'm really just fighting for the minorities here, the underprivileged groups.
Autism claims for Medicaid in Minnesota went from, this is over the course of 5 years. It used to be $3 million per year on autism claims. In 5 years, it went to $399 million per year.
Whoa. Effectively, nearly a $400 million increase.
Effective autism.
Damn. What's a guy got to do to get a piece of that autism money?
Yeah, so these are the types of things that were going on. There was also another housing services one. I didn't put that in my direct notes right here. But
Joe, you might be able to pass off.
Yeah?
Yeah, your autism passing? I think it's a technical phrase.
As a Somali?
I meant a Somali.
You're a long ways from that, brother.
This is my autism now. Look at me. This is my autism.
Look at me. I am the autist now.
All right.
Yeah.
This is already so far off the rails.
Yeah, so, and this was kind of the big thing in... So just another quote from here is, this is coming from a Mr. Megan who's a prominent figure in the Somali community. And he's kind of one of the people in the report here saying that this is a bad thing on the Somali and makes the Somalis look bad and so on. He's saying there's a perception that forcefully tackling the issue might cause political backlash among the Somali community, which is a core voting block.
How much of a core voting block?
Well, we had just looked up the numbers, and it's something like 75 to 85% of the Somali community in most districts are voting for the Democrat candidates, mm-hmm. particularly Walz, but also Biden in 2020 on the presidential side, for Kamala Walz in 2024, but then also in the gubernatorial race.
It looks like he's going to run in 2026 too, so he really needs that community. So
we're just like, yeah, no. Which that's kind of what the congressional investigation is did you and your AG know about this? And if so, you're not doing anything about it because that would disrupt your voting block.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So kind of just blatant corruption in that sense is what he's getting for. Yeah, so that's kind
of impressive. Those are real numbers. $1 billion across three plots. That is nuts.
I actually saw at the beginning of the notes, Dave, if you can, I have a X article or an X post that's curious there. It's labeled as curious. This is actually coming from a tweet curious. From Christopher Rufo.
Yeah, towards the bottom. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, towards the bottom.
Yeah. Curiouser? I'm curious.
So this is kind of the argument that's coming from the left about the Somali community right now is Somali Minnesotans generate at least $500 million in income annually and pay about $67 million in state and local taxes. And Christopher Rufo is just saying they stole billions of dollars. So it is a net drain, right? Like that's kind of the argument that's being made on here.
Well, and not just that, it's fraud. It's lying. Mm-hmm. It's taking other people's money through lies. Mm-hmm. It's wrong. It doesn't matter how much they produce, right? It doesn't matter anything about it. All that matters is that they're committing fraud on a massive, massive scale.
Yeah, it's
$1 billion. That's 1/5 of the entire budget of our state.
Yeah.
That is nuts.
It's a crazy amount of money. Yeah, for $1 billion for a state government is a lot.
Yeah,
especially one the size of Minnesota. But that is just one of those things where you have here. There's, you know, the argument of like they're contributing to the community. It doesn't really pay off when we're talking about the fraud of
it's just trying to emotionally engage the circuitry of the liberal brain that says these are victims. You can't. These guys are being meanies by talking about them in a mean way.
And there's good Somalis, like there's all that, like there's some good ones down there. but that's one of the things there where when we're talking about this voting block. Also in the report there was that was also the thing is this all started really happening in the aftermath of George Floyd, which was also Minnesota. So you have that racial tension thing that's going on. We have to be worried about racial tensions in Minnesota. So we don't want to, even though that's African-American community, is now we have the Somali community here. That's kind of the big dynamic that exists there. Mm. Let's get into one of the things that really happened here was the media was flipping out over Trump's rhetoric over the Somali community. I'm sure you guys saw this clip, but
the $1 billion is not so important. What's important are the mean things.
Trump said some mean words.
Yeah.
And they contribute nothing. The welfare is like 88%. They contribute nothing. I don't want them in our country, I'll be honest with you. Okay? Somebody would say, oh, that's not politically correct. I don't care. I don't want them in our country. Their country is no good for a reason. Their country stinks. And we don't want them in our country. I can say that about other countries, too. I can say it about other countries, too. We don't want them to help. We have to rebuild our country. You know, our country's at a tipping point. We could go bad. We're at a tipping point. I don't know if people mind me saying that, but I'm saying it. We could go one way or the other. And we're going to go the wrong way if we keep taking in garbage into our country. Ilhan Omar is garbage. She's garbage. Her friends are garbage. These aren't people that work. These aren't people that say, let's go, come on, let's make this place great. These are people that do nothing but complain. They complain. And from where they came from, they got nothing. You know, they came from paradise and they said, this isn't paradise. But when they come from hell and they complain and do nothing but bitch, we don't want them in our country. Let them go back to where they came from and fix it. Thank you very much.
So I was looking this up. The unemployment rate amongst the Somali community in Minnesota is 40%.
Wow.
That's really high.
I'm sorry. We can't just jump into statistics right after that epic roast fest. I feel like he's really leaning into his crotchety old man era where he just says whatever he wants because he knows that people will be like, well, he's just Trump or he's from a different time. The guy just called Ilhan Omar garbage.
Yeah. Well, it is reminiscent of the shithole countries remark.
For sure. Yeah.
Which I think that was about Haiti, but you know, it's the same thing.
That was
same concept, not the same country, very different parts of the world. Same country.
Typical American.
Can't even point to Somalia on a map.
I'm pretty certain I couldn't. I'd be throwing a dart.
It's that eastern horn on Africa.
On the corner of Africa.
It's across the strait from Yemen.
We all know you guys are very smart on geography.
Yeah. Wicked okay. smart.
Wicked fucking smart.
Wicked smart.
I mean, okay, so on the other side of it, is he being unfair? I mean, Somalia isn't a problem because Somalis are bad. Somalia's a problem because they've been in civil war for 30-something years.
I just assume it was our fault.
Well, yeah, what kind of color revolution did we lead there in the 70s?
I just assume everything's our fault.
I didn't have the time to pull the whole history, but there are some really great, there's really great work from Scott Horton on this about U.S. intervention in Somalia and how that has played out and how the U.S. has played sides and encouraged the civil war over time and basically made it the best.
So there it is.
But regardless of all that, I think a lot of the major point is the importation of these people into the country. There's a wider thing is just the importation of third worlders of different cultures that aren't assimilating into the country.
Yes, right.
And they're creating their own sub-communities within that are kind of abating by their own. And Minnesota has been one of those. Dearborn and – or no, wait. Dearborn –
Michigan?
That's Michigan.
Yeah. Michigan. Yeah, sorry.
A lot of Muslims there.
Michigan, they all look Michigan. The same, Kyle. Sorry, it's fine.
All these M states. That's actually. I was thinking.
Midwestern M states do get confusing.
Yeah, Dearborn, Michigan, you have this going on with a large Islamic importation. And then here in Minnesota, you have the Somalis coming in. And these are large populations that are just coming in here, right?
Yeah, and it's actually a worse condemnation of the empire, of the hegemony, right? In that you're literally ruining places and then being like, taking those ruined places and be like, oh yeah, you just come live in our country. You know, how bad that is for the average American.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that you're taking places that are ruined and terrible and you're like, come to America.
Yeah. Well, and I think the assimilation piece or the lack thereof is a really important point. And I just happened to see earlier today on X a sort of whistleblower from a food manufacturing plant in Minnesota basically saying like, he left the state, you know, and he left his job there because of the influx of Somali labor that was brought in because primarily these companies could pay them less, right? Like is the case with a lot of illegal immigrants. And he was talking about how culturally they did not have a sense of hygiene, right? Which is super freaking important for a food manufacturing plant. And the stuff that he talks about in this video is like appalling. Mm. Washing themselves inappropriately in the sink, all sorts of defecation problems, like damaging stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know I've said like a couple of times. I know you guys are calling us out on the like thing. I'm working on it. Okay, it's hard.
We both are.
Podcasting's hard, man.
I'm gonna replace like with submarine from now on. I promise that will be the new word you learn to hate. reference to the last episode. If you didn't see it, worth checking out, I think. But
yeah, Joe really loves submarines, is what we learned.
I think it might be part of my new tism that I'm going to acquire.
1 in 16.
So that I can get those sweet benefits.
1 in 16 Somalis have autism.
That is, yeah.
And I can reduce that to a decimal because I have the tism as well. I don't actually know what it is. Anyway, big problem that's going on there across, and I think across a lot of industries, not just politically, but economically, a lot of problems happening.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Some other stats that came from this report too, just to put some more numbers on potential problems with the Somali community that may be of concern, is 40% of households in Somalia get remittances from abroad. So, and in 2023 alone, this is the year that was reported on, Somalians sent back $1.7 billion to Somalia, which is more than the Somali government's entire budget.
Whoa.
Wow. Is it because they're getting all the free money from Minnesota?
Well, that's kind of the thing.
And federal programs too. So yeah. it's your tax dollars paying for it.
Which kind of reminds me of some of the stuff that was going on in the LA riots recently. We talked about the remittance side of that and Sheinbaum and all of that. You can go back and go back to that. But third world remittance things, that's a big piece of politics that I think people don't really look at as often.
Mm-hmm.
But law enforcement sources claim much of the money moves through networks of hawalas. Whatever that means. They're like clans, I guess. Informal clan-based money traders into Al-Shabaab, which is Al-Qaeda linked.
One of the sides of the Somalian civil war.
Yeah. And so there's an anonymous source in this. Apparently, allegedly, this is part of the reporting, is that this anonymous source that he's an independent contractor working for a three-letter agency that was part of integrating in with Minnesota men joining up with ISIS. That was his role as a contractor for an agency. It's not labeled of which one. He stated in there that what was his exact quote? It was that the Minnesota taxpayer is the largest funder of Al-Shabaab. That was the phrasing that he used for it.
That's sick.
Because how much money is going back in the remittances side.
Wow.
And also, it's according to Homeland Security, half of the American men who attempted and or joined ISIS came from Minnesota.
Half?
So, guys.
Half of them. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Minnesota
is a state sponsor of terror.
the Minnesota taxpayer is kind of the thing.
Damn. Can you imagine being in that situation?
Is there a number they gave for how many men joined ISIS?
It wasn't a big number when I looked at it. It was something like 100 men or something, and then 50 of them were from Minnesota or something along those lines. I can't remember the exact number.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, but it was half of the people that tried to go. It's not like 10,000 tried to go and 5,000 of them were Minnesota. It was like 100 to 50 or something. Yeah,
maybe up to 5.
Or maybe even 50 to 25. It was somewhere in that ballpark. It was under 100 people, I remember. But just to kind of give that perspective of where there might be some concerns that exist here. And just remember, you know, the Minnesotans are kind of funding this, which is kind of just an interesting narrative that exists there. Mm. Let's go to the clip of, I have a clip from Tom Emmer on the Somali crime statistics, and then I want to get into Ilhan Omar's response to all of this.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what she had to say to those comments.
I'm just grateful that you're reporting it, and the reason that it's getting reported is because Donald Trump, President Trump, finally made this a national issue when he sent out a truth a couple weeks ago. We've been trying to sound the alarm in Minnesota for more than 3 years. Everybody's focused right now on $1 billion plus in fraud that has been stolen from Minnesota taxpayers, and a lot of it allegedly has been sent to Al-Shabaab back in Somalia, a terrorist group. But you know what we're not talking about today? Do you realize that, it's not that all Somalis are committing crimes, but 80% of the crimes being committed in the Twin Cities in Minnesota are being committed by Somalis. And by the way, the FBI has been investigating Somali gangs in the Twin Cities now for months. I am grateful that President Trump has raised this to a national issue. This is it's kind of like a small version of what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were doing at our southern border for the last 4 years. Tim Walz is as corrupt as the end and incompetent as the day is long. You got $1 billion of fraud. You got the largest fraud case in a pandemic fraud case in the country.
Whoa.
I looked up some of the gang names. One of the gangs, the Hot Boys Gang.
Gang.
But the most prominent one is
round the clock sex. Come on, man.
Yeah, I don't know. The most prominent gang that I saw, it's potentially 500 strong is what they're looking at. 500 Somali men from the ages of like 14 to 25 is kind of the average age. Is the Somali Outlaws is what they're called.
Not very creative.
Largely carjackings, that type of stuff.
You call your game the Criminals,
Somali Criminals.
It's not a very good brand.
That'd be a good sports team.
I mean, it's
Somali Criminals.
It's very on brand.
It's the Somali Pirates. Quite on brand.
It's the
change
Pirates.
The name of the Vikings to the Somali Pirates.
The Minnesota Somali Pirates.
Minnesota Pirates.
Credit to the Babylon Bee for that one.
Yeah, that was
there. I did see that. Yeah.
I thought I was original.
No,
that was a bad one. Article.
We all knew better.
I don't know.
Yes, Matt.
I was going to ask a question about basically why Minnesota. Like, why is it just that's who's letting them come there? Or because when I think of,
I don't know why.
I think of, obviously Somalia is very warm. Minnesota is not.
I don't know what the early history of that is. Of why Minnesota. It's similar, like Michigan has such a Muslim.
It's a really good question. I feel like David's looking it up. And while he's looking it up, I want to circle back to some of these gang names because I asked Grok what a few more of them were.
Or Grok them.
Madiban with Attitude, MWA. Come on, man.
That's pretty good.
Gay!
Young and Thuggin.
That was pretty
just
good.
Just Taliban. It's like, that's not subtle, guys. That's not subtle at all.
Danger zone.
Well, you know, Taliban means the youth.
I did not know that.
Yeah. They started out as a gang, pretty much.
That's how a lot of these groups start out. It's young men, often in that kind of pubescent age of 13, 14, that, you know, they go through some things. They might chop some heads off. Then they grow up a little bit.
Then they become president
of Syria. But that is the track of it. That's why cartels are a very interesting phenomenon. Just organized crime in general is very interesting, is that a lot of this starts as young teenage men that then turn into something a decade later after large amounts of organized crime.
Hmm. What would you do if you were in a gang called Muddy? Just Muddy.
Well, it makes the hygiene thing sound appropriate.
Very fair. That definitely elicits some mental imagery. Hmm. What'd you find, David?
So 1991, the Somali Civil War triggered large flows where there was a specific effort in the Twin Cities to accept a community of people from that. And then it's pretty much just a network kind of snowball rolling downhill sort of phenomena. And this makes sense, especially because if you look at high concentration of Irish in Boston, for example, there's no like singular reason, but there are a set of reasons you could look to that then have network effects that build on themselves to create a very large Irish.
But at least that, it makes sense environmentally. Like, it's similar climate. Like, it's
true.
Like, that I get. New York and Boston for Irish. That's why I was confused with
why this state in particular. And I wonder if that's maybe local, government policies.
They had a large like entry workplace job attraction there with poultry, meatpacking, manufacturing.
Where they shit in all your food, apparently.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Some of them are good people.
I'm not saying it. People are saying it.
Minnesota is a fairly big welfare state and has since the 1990s. So therefore, that checks for your on-ramp. If you come in, you don't have any money, you can get some money.
Totally. Well, and it sure seems like they're abusing the systems.
That
seems to be the big thing here.
Putting it mildly.
It's very European-like story when it comes to migration, which is actually different from most migration communities. Okay, so America has a history of these sort of phenomena, right? Germans did it, Irish did it, Chinese did it, Mexicans did it. All these groups do this. The trick is when you're like that exceptionally small minority, your ghettoization needs to have this breaking point one or two generations in where you get buy into larger culture and society. This is still super early. We're only talking about 1990s, so we're only one generation in. And it doesn't look like that's what they're going for, right? There's still like a very insulated community. And if you're committing welfare fraud, that isn't orientating towards we're going to be police
becoming
officers.
Becoming a and productive member of society.
That's not good. Especially with a high crime rate like that. That's also not a good sign.
Yeah. I know certain people among the right wing are going to give me hate for this, but that's kind of what the Indians did in a lot of ways. The Indians integrated quite a bit and they became very much in the doctor and tech spheres and they integrated quite well. Because there's all these prominent Indians that are now coming up that are two, three generations in. From that time period. And I'm not aware of this type of stuff happening with, say, Indian immigration at the time, and that's where the concerns are. It's just, are they integrating? Are they not? That seems to be kind of the big through line there.
That's always the question when it comes to this issue. And it's a sticky and difficult question because of all the racism claims and all that kind of stuff that make it really difficult. But at the end of the day, your question is if you're in a insulated community, are you interested in the larger society that you're in, or are you going to stay there? Most groups have been pulled out of that over time and largely integrated to our larger society, but not all. And Somalis could be one of the examples of that did not.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And you can find the same thing. South Koreans, there's large black communities that have done that. I forget what it is. One of the most successful minorities in America is black from Africa. Oh man, what is it?
Nigerians is what you're thinking of. Speaking of this, let's go into our representative, which is Ilhan Omar.
He's always been a racist, a bigot, a xenophobic, and Islamophobic. We know that he called African nations a shithole in his first administration. We know that when he came down that escalator, he said he was going to stop Muslim immigration into this country. And so it is not surprising that he is going after black immigrants in this country. And it's certainly not surprising that he's choosing a black immigrant community that is also Muslim. But what I would like to say is that most of us are citizens. On our passport, it says we are nationals of this country. We love that Minnesota has welcomed us. Many of us have not been settled in Minnesota. We chose it as a home because the Minnesota people and the state is beautiful and very welcoming. And we are going to be here regardless of what the president has to say.
Yeah, pretty typical.
Yeah.
What you would expect. Racist.
I mean, I would think a state is welcoming, too, if they were allowing $1 billion of fraud to go my way. You know, it's pretty sweet perk.
I mean, they allow you to marry your brother. Oh. By the way, is that story true?
Yeah, I don't know.
I was looking at it because it's just something that the internet, I just pulled it up on Grok just to see, is like, is it actually true that Ilhan Omar married her brother? And this is the idea, is my understanding of what allegedly happened is it's not necessarily a romantic marrying, it's a immigration fraud marrying thing, which already, just speaking of this story, by the way, we're talking about immigration.
Yeah,
immigration,
she's married fraud. To a white guy now, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure.
But it's one of those things that exists. I don't know if it's ever been debunked. I've never seen her really, really attempt to debunk it. Mm. So I was kind of wondering, is it actually true? She consistently denies it, labeling it as absurd and offensive and a product of racism, Islamophobia, and misogyny. Hmm. That's what Grok tells me. And that's apparently the Snopes fact check on it.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't ever lie to us.
No. Snopes.
Just out of curiosity, what are the community notes on this?
The proposed
down.
Community notes?
Look down. Yeah.
We should note that these proposed community notes are not officially accepted as community notes.
Yeah.
Oh. No.
Trump denies being a racist.
That's kind of what I figured it was, but I was curious.
Oh, well, Tim Scott and Herschel Walker called him, quote, the least racist person.
They're black. In case you didn't know.
I wasn't going to say it, but you were right.
Oh, by the way, on Nigerians, sorry to be scattered around.
Yeah, yeah.
61% of Nigerians hold a bachelor's degree. They have substantially higher income than your average American. Yeah. Averaging, about $10,000 more.
So
than
it was Nigeria?
Yeah, Nigeria.
Yep. Yeah. That's what I always heard.
You're wrong.
Nigeria is like the.
I was wrong.
Now, is the top performing immigrant group.
Importantly, Nigerians represent voluntary immigration, while most Somalians represent people fleeing.
Yeah.
You know, conflict. The problems in their home countries, and I think that might tell a lot about the kind of difference in how we think about how they incorporate a larger society, the sense of duty to do so. If you're involuntarily going to a place because you have to, you're going to orientate towards that maybe a little bit differently. You can kind of see the psychological mechanism.
Oh, definitely.
Like, I don't speak the language. I don't want to learn the language. This wasn't my plan for life. Well, a Nigerian is like, this is my plan for my life. I want to be an American. And they're going to have more inclination to adopt the values and norms.
I think back to, this is, I think, when we were covering all the immigration that was happening in Ireland. Mm. And there's one guy being filmed and he's like, it's your fault I'm here. And he was not happy about
you
it.
You fucked
and,
it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. There is a, on a psychological mechanism, there is a sense of, there is an archetype of immigrant that is, I've always heard about the American dream. I want to pursue the American dream. Mm-hmm. And then there's other types of immigrants. And oftentimes you need to have a line in there that exists there. It's sort of the, I'm not for zero or infinite immigration. There's some balancing act that exists there. It's kind of in that bubble.
Back
there.
To our classic immigration model legislation, somewhere between zero
and infinite. And infinite.
Which is the most reasonable stature. And yet we still get shit for it in the comments.
People hate me for that. I don't know what it is.
Interesting note here, David, that 70%, according to Grok, 70% of Nigerian immigrants to the U.S. across all time are Christian.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Only 28% are Muslim.
Kind of makes sense given recent events there.
Yeah, well, you would see, you know, a little bit more cultural alignment from the get-go with that sort of common underpinning with, you know, a culture in
It's America. Also interesting because I think Nigeria is mostly Muslim now. I think most
it is, yes.
All the entire northern section of Africa is mostly Muslim.
Yes, it is majority Muslim, yeah. This country.
Yeah. And Christians have been getting murdered recently. In large groups.
Oh, yeah. I read about that.
Yeah. Yes. In Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily have to play this clip, but I did queue up a clip from Kristi Noem. It's just at the roundtable meeting. She says she makes the claim that 50% of Minnesotan visas are fraudulent.
Wow.
Maybe actually just play it to maybe get broader.
Yeah. Prove it.
Yeah. Into Minnesota and their fraud on visas and their programs. 50% of them are fraudulent, which means that wacko Governor Walz either is an idiot or he did it on purpose. And I think he's both, sir. He brought people in there illegally that never should have been in this country, said they were somebody that they're not. They said they were married to somebody who was their brother or somebody else. Fraudulent visa applications, signed up for government programs, took hundreds of billions of dollars from the taxpayers, and we're going to remove them, and we're going to get our money back, and we're going to this next year make sure that we only put people in leadership positions in this country that love this country. Look into Minnesota and their fraud.
Damn. So I don't know how the Homeland Security Director is going to make sure we put only people in leadership of the country who love this country. That's not exactly your role, lady, but
it's a hard role to manage.
A hard role, yeah. But interesting case. 50% fraudulent
is what she's claiming.
I mean, that is an extraordinary claim, and I feel like that would require some amount of actual evidence.
I have to imagine that's exaggerative. There's probably a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if they've discovered a lot, but it's probably exaggerated.
If it's about 20%, that's an enormous rate of error for the administration to tolerate, right? Like, imagine if you had 50% error rate on your book that you're trying to publish, or a 50% error rate on...
You could be a meteorologist.
On the product you're trying to sell. On the product you're trying to sell on the market. Like 50% of them just arrived broke. You know what I mean? That would be huge. You're 20% broke. Would be huge. You know, like you see error rates of like 3%, 5%. That's normal for any large organization. 50%, even 20% would be
at
huge.
At that point, you have to assume that it's not an error.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's kind of our point right here. It's like this is so high, it can't be an error. Right. It can't just be typical administrative oversight or small fraudulent problems.
Right.
You know, this is a huge one. Interesting case. I wonder if they'll ever release actual public evidence of that. Difficult to do, especially because a lot of this has a lot of key identifying information.
So apparently this is tied to an investigation in September of Operation Twin Shields, which uncovered a ton of suspected fraud cases in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area after 900 plus site visits, including fake businesses, forged documents, marriage fraud. Let's just see as I'm perusing in here. And then there's also people are kind of linking the stuff into with the current fraud with the welfare and all this stuff too. So apparently there is a big operation going on uncovering all this fraud. So I wouldn't be surprised if we maybe get more reports on that right now. But as of right now, there's not there's not evidence presented on there's 50% visa fraud is what I'm seeing.
Interesting. Well, they can actually bring that to court and actually prosecute, and that'd be very compelling.
It is funny that Grok, when I asked, Grok is like, no, she didn't claim that. But then it's like, she did claim that 50% are fraudulent, though. I was like, what? Grok is hallucinating. Elon, something is wrong with Grok.
Yeah, you got to be suspect. Yeah. We probably rely too much on Grok here. I think we should have an introspective moment. Do we rely too much on AI for answers on the show?
Maybe. It's just the quickest way to get answers live on the show.
I mean, that's true.
Why we do it. Yeah. I mean, I tried Gemini. It gave me an okay answer recently. And I use ChatGPT too. Sometimes.
A lot of people are saying Gemini is kind of the new one.
Gotten better.
That's gotten a lot better. I just remember when I first started using Gemini, the hallucinations
were
bad.
Awful. It was so bad.
It was just, we also have the black presidents and black pope and all that stuff, right? That was happening in that time period. So maybe
was one black pope from Africa. You know,
and then he wasn't actually ever black.
Yeah, right.
He was from Africa.
He was from Africa, but he wasn't black.
Well, he lived in Africa. He was not from Africa.
That's, yeah. Right. Yes, because of occupation of Northern Africa.
Colonization,
right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of the broader story here is when we're looking at this, this is the major concern that's happening right now is all of these factors coming in with the Somali population when it comes to these fraud cases, because we're just looking at billions of dollars here.
Well, and if this is what we know about and it's $1 billion, imagine what we don't know about.
Three plots investigated right now.
Yeah.
We're not even done yet.
The tip of the iceberg, potentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Additionally, and we didn't bring this up, but there was a Project Veritas investigation specifically on this community on paying for ballots, cash for ballot scheme, and harvesting in Minneapolis, St. Paul. So interesting additional one there, because it could be go a little bit beyond. They might not just be all voting for Tim Walz. They could also be generating some votes out of the ether as well. And when you look at a very high crime rate, very high unemployment rate, very high fraud rate, you know, that's like a whole set of a community. You could really understand why locals there are very concerned about it.
Yeah.
You know, another thing just about Tim Walz, something, this is aside from the Somali stuff, but it's about Tim Walz in particular, is something as I was just digging up things on all of this, is I came across and was reminded of Tucker had interviewed a woman, I can't remember who was giving a whole dossier on Tim Walz at the time when, you know, Biden dropped out, Kamala, it was in that time period. And apparently Tim Walz was accused of feeding China classified information on tanks. Yeah. And then China came out with their own version of that tank like a couple of years later.
Yeah, I remember we covered that, didn't we? Yeah. Cover that on the election cycle?
I forgot about that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Wait. Tim Walz had classified information on American tanks?
From the National Guard.
Oh.
From his time in the National Guard. Oh. And then remember that was there was the whole thing. Well, what was the story? He was in Tiananmen Square and he lied about being there when it happened.
Yeah.
And everybody were investigating into his lies.
I think he was a teacher then, and it was like some.
He did a lot of student group.
He did a lot of China stuff.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those things where I'm like, remember that about Tim Walz is there was some weird China potentially. And it was his fellow National Guards people that went to the FBI on their own and was like, this Walz guy, we think is doing something shady in China.
Yeah. And that guy's when they say that he's a fraudster and like all these things, I easily believe it. He reeks of it to me.
Well, he was watching him. He was Stolen Valor too.
And that stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And then the China stuff. It all comes together like this guy is such
and some pedo stuff. Some allegations of you know inappropriate interactions with the students.
Were there allegations? I just remember it always being like he's one of those guys.
I think it was like
People were kind of like speculating on it. I don't remember if there was actually.
I think there were some claims. Yeah, I think there were from former students. So you know, you can take that for what it is. It's relatively anecdotal.
Yeah.
And you never know. Elections do shake out a lot of sketchy claims.
Yeah,
sometimes.
For sure.
But that said, what was the thing about horse?
What was the horse thing? I forget.
It was the same time as the Vance couch thing.
Thumbnails.
Horse.
That's right. Yeah, we purposely made a thumbnail of Tim Walz on a horse.
Tim Walz was drinking a cup of milk on a horse.
And then we had a thumbnail of JD on a couch.
But it wasn't milk, though.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Do better, Minnesota.
They're not sending their best.
To be fair,
shithole state.
And I have friends and extended family in Minnesota.
Me too.
Not all of Minnesota thinks or feels this way. Like many states, right? It's driven largely by the urban centers politically. You know, we were talking about the percentage of these Somali heavy districts that went for Walz. That contributed 10 to 15% of his margin overall. Mm. That's a huge amount. Mm. And so, you know, there's only so much you can do when you live in a less populated area, right? I mean, you can't control the outcome of elections sometimes.
It does really show the importing voters idea.
Yeah,
the
great replacement.
We're looking at this.
Yeah,
just that in general.
That's a terrible conspiracy theory.
Not even just great replacement. It's just like so importing racist. Voters. Is that you have a 80 to 90% population of a population is voting your way?
Yeah. Well, just think about it. Just us saying that just now is probably going to put a Wikipedia thing below this video about how the great replacement is not a thing.
Yeah, that's one of the
conspiracy theory.
Oh, on YouTube?
Yeah.
That's one of the Google Wiki articles that come up as great replacements.
All right. In the comments, we need you to tell us if you see the Wikipedia thing below this video right now, because that would be very interesting.
Yeah.
It'd be very interesting.
They're listening to everything.
It's just a theory, guys. It's just a theory.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Something only radical conspiracy theorists say.
Yeah.
Only evil Tucker Carlson's.
That's right.
Tucker Carlson's.
Tucker Carlson. I got to say, that is a really clever nickname.
Levin did well.
Mark Levin, that's right. I was like, was it Ben Shapiro?
No, he does something right.
Really, really dialed that one in.
Yeah. He's the one that I always see doing it. So.
Yeah,
100%. Well, guys.
All right. Yeah. Well, to all of our friends in Minnesota.
And Somalia.
Hey, 75 countries listen to this podcast.
That's right.
75. Some could be in
I don't know
Somalia.
If Somalia was on that list. Might be after this episode. Maybe it's going to hit the Somali algo.
Their TikTok algo? Is that going to show up in there?
I mean, we have gone viral in Ireland and Sweden.
Norway was in our top five on Spotify. Thank you, Norway.
A lot of Somalian gangs in
Australia,
Sweden now.
Canada. I forget. I think the UK. In the U.S., of course.
Speaking of Norway, did you guys see in Tucker's reporting that there might have been some linkage to Norwegian terrorist group when it came to the shooter?
The
Trump shooter.
Crooks,
is that there was like potential linkage there that existed to Norwegian terror.
Yeah.
I did not know Norwegian terror.
I didn't even know those two words would be used in the same sentence.
Aren't they like
Norwegian
one of the happiest countries in the world or whatever?
I think it's Finland, but they're up there.
They're all the same. Just kidding, Norway. Love you. Thanks so much for watching, you guys. This has been Human Reaction. Are we done?
I think we're done.
Okay.
All right. Somalis are done. We're done with the Somalis.
Sounds great. For David Rand, for Kyle Mack, for Bennett, I'm Joe Sheehan. This is Human Reaction. We'll see you in the next one. Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com. And remember,
don't marry your brother.